If you need immediate help, please call the National Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. Welcome to Clean and Sober Radio, brought to you in part by Recovery Centers of America, the nationally recognized leader in drug and alcohol treatment, using proven evidence-based treatment, including 24/7 medically supervised detox, inpatient and outpatient options. You'll receive exceptional care from an expert team of master-level clinicians, physicians, nurses, and staff using 12-step methodology and medications. Jefferson University Hospitals and Thomas Jefferson University, providing excellent clinical and compassionate care in the Philadelphia region, a proven leader in healthcare and education since 1825, and Acadia Healthcare, with locations on the East Coast. Acadia maintains a standard for excellence in the treatment of behavioral health and addiction concerns. And now, here are your hosts, Gary Handler and Mark Sigmund.
Hey, thanks for joining us and welcome to the show. Clean and Sober Radio features real people with real stories about addiction to drugs and alcohol. Before we start the show, I'd like to first thank some of the great radio stations across America that are broadcasting our show. And they are WWDB in Philadelphia, WWNN West Palm Beach, Florida, KDWN Las Vegas, Nevada, WHFS Tampa, Florida, and WGAC Augusta, Georgia. Mark, what's up, buddy?
Not too much, Gary. How you doing? Good week this week, and hello.
Yeah, how was your week?
It was good. I've just been trucking along, you know, just been working a lot this week and stuff, and getting ready for the striped bass to come up the Delaware River to start fishing.
Really?
Yes.
All right, I know we have 1 minute before the break because we start late. Do you have a quick
absolutely
recovery story, real quick.
Absolutely. So there's a boycott now of Russian spirits in support of Ukraine. Over the course of the past 2 weeks, many liquor stores across the United States have been pulling all Russian alcohol from the shelves. Initially, governors of New Hampshire, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Utah ordered all governmentally owned liquor establishments to withdraw Russian brands, which prompted many other states to follow suit.
Good. I'm glad.
Yes, in support of Ukraine.
Absolutely.
So.
It's a tragedy.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
We'll have to say some prayers.
Yeah. I know we don't want to get political, but boycott Russia with any kind of products. Unfortunately, it hurts the people of Russia.
Absolutely. And this week, the AA World Services out of Ukraine sent out something.
All right, let's go. We're going to go to our first break. When we come back, we have two of our dear friends on the show. Linda E. and Larry M. And we'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
If you're struggling with alcohol or drugs, Recovery Centers of America can help. RCA's local inpatient and outpatient programs are founded on science and delivered with heart from an expert, caring team who will inspire and guide you every step of the way. Call 1-888-RECOVERY now to speak with a treatment advisor. At RCA, you'll be in a community that builds connections and fosters support from peers and RCA's team of medical professionals and recovery support specialists. At RCA's state-of-the-art campuses in Devon, PA, and Mays Landing, New Jersey, they tailor your treatment to you and also offer specialized programs for patients with history of trauma, for patients who have achieved recovery but are experiencing a relapse, for young adults, adults 50 years and older, a confidential program for first responders and military, and a faith-based program. RCA answers the phone and accepts patients 24/7. And because it's local and in-network with insurance providers, treatment is affordable and accessible. Don't wait. Call 1-888-RECOVERY today.
Hi, this is Judy Collins, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-329-3306. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Hey, we're back. Mark and I, of course, thank everybody for watching and listening to the show. So I thought today, Mark, we would have a show with our dear friends, Larry M. and Linda L. on the show. I'd like to talk about, and I don't think we've done this before. Correct me if I'm wrong. Talk about the steps.
Yeah, I don't think we have.
I mean, that's the roadmap into recovery for many of us. And then we can talk about anything else we want to talk about. And if our viewers or listeners want to get involved in the show, they can give us a call at 1-888-329-3306. 3306.
Yes, this should be very interesting because we've had both of these guys on the show before. Well, one woman and one guy on the show before, and they're awesome.
And listen, you want to join into the conversation. If you don't agree with some of the steps,
yeah,
if you don't agree with any of the steps, if you like all the steps, let us know. There's no right answers.
There isn't. And I've actually been running into people that get really intimidated by the steps because they mention God. And you run into this, and it spooks people sometimes. I was just talking to somebody last night that I actually had to refer to an alternative program due to this. It was such a hang-up for them. So,
all right, why don't we do this? We've never done this before. But
which is crazy.
We want everybody's input, especially our beautiful guest here. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol and that our lives had become unmanageable. You agree with that, Linda?
Absolutely.
Lara?
Of course. I knew that before I even came to my first meeting, but I thought I'd have to die that way.
Well, oh, wow. You didn't. Mark, you agree with that one?
Absolutely, especially the unmanageability part. And not just in addiction to drugs and alcohol, but just unmanageability in life with addictive behavior.
Yeah.
Excuse me, but a year after I was in AA,
yeah,
doing it my way,
yeah,
went through six sponsors, and Gary, you were one of them, because I didn't like what they told me.
What did I tell you didn't like?
Truth.
That you couldn't
the
use?
The truth. No, just the truth.
Yeah.
And I sat down with the sponsor I was finally willing to listen to.
Yeah.
And he went to step one. He says, what's the second half? I says, our lives become unmanageable. And he says, well, you've been sober over a year. How well are you managing it? I did not like the question because I had to tell the truth on the answer.
I got to tell you something. I remember probably the first couple of meetings they read the – I didn't know what the first step was. But the guy that was reading it couldn't read. And he said, and our wives had become unmanageable. I remember
that's
that.
That's true, too.
That's part of marriage. I accept that.
Yeah. Linda, what do you think?
My life was so unmanageable.
Yeah.
I was late everywhere. I didn't care what anybody thought about anything. I was the only one that knew anything. Hated my parents. Hated everybody. Just did whatever I wanted all the time.
That's
no way to live.
Did you find that direct connection between, I know myself and most of us tried to control it. You know, we tried to say, well, I'm going to moderate, and we tried it so many different times. Did you find that was directly connected, that loss of control, the power?
I'm one of the only people that didn't try to control it.
Oh, you just
knew. I went right off the edge from my last drunk to being sober, just like that. I never tried to control it. I would pregame before going to events. Mm-hmm. I was extreme. And when I tell people my story, people think they're worse than me, and they're like, oh, no, you're the worst.
what about you, Mark?
Oh, I tried many, many times, you know, in other words, to pull it back, to moderate. And you know, I had all kinds of different plans. I remember one time back in like 1999, I remember having you know those pill boxes where you have Monday, Tuesday,
sure,
Wednesday, Thursday,
when you
Friday?
Get really old, you use those pill boxes.
Yes.
You can't remember.
So I tried to put my drugs in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, thinking that, yeah, I'll just do it that way. And that's the way I'll control. And pretty quickly, I went through all 7 days, you know.
Really?
Yes.
That's amazing.
You don't seem too surprised.
Not at all. Hey, listen, before we get really backed up with all these people watching, let's just mention some names. Mimi Dorshoe is watching. Ellie Joy Schwartz and Katie Wolf Collin are watching. Mark Willig is watching. Let's see. Okay, we'll get the rest of it because we have a lot to go through here. We're going to go through all the steps. And, you know, you guys, feel free, if you don't agree, because there are some of the steps I don't necessarily agree with. Feel free to bring it up. Nobody judges anybody on this show.
Never.
None of us are perfect.
Judgment.
None of us at all. I'm going to go to step two. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. What does that mean for you, Linda? What did it mean?
I needed a return to sanity. And if I believe in God, so it was okay to think that God would do it for me, but I really had to do the work. I mean, it was a great feeling. I had been to many therapists. I remember when my first marriage broke up and I went to therapy, and they all said the same thing. They said, you can get better. but they never said what was wrong with me. But they all said, you can get better. Just get through this, you'll get better. I went to 5 different therapists that year. And eventually I found one, and I got sober while I was with her. And it was amazing. It changed everything
for
me.
So was that your defining moment with this therapist when you, I guess, decided, I've had enough. I can't do it on myself. There must be another way. Boom.
And I loved her because she was completely honest about it. She was like, if you want to move forward with your life, you have to put these substances down. You have to do it. And she really helped me through everything. Yeah. It was a turning point.
Yeah.
I didn't get sober until 2 years after I started with her. But it worked out.
Yeah. Lara, what about you?
I was at a point, 14 months of sobriety, as they call it.
Yeah.
Being clean.
Yep.
And I was crazy.
Uh-huh.
Totally crazy. And it got to the point where I planned my relapse.
You planned it, okay.
I planned it. And everything I ever planned, I mess up. So I go down to have dinner with a friend of mine, took a bus because I wasn't going to drive home. And one of his employees comes in to check out from work. And I recognize him. One of them 12-step guys.
Yeah.
Did not like him. I met him before. I cursed him out on the way out the door.
Uh-huh.
But we sat down and we were talking about life. Nothing about the fellowships. And I knew he was okay and I wasn't. And that's what I was searching for all my life, to feel okay. And instead of going to dinner with my friend, I followed him back to his home group for the next 12 years.
Yeah.
And there came a point where I was always agreeable because what I was really saying was, tell me more. Because I thought I was going to figure it out through logic. And I wasn't doing a good job. And finally one night, a moment of sanity. My way got me here. What's working for these guys might work for me. No lose situation. If it doesn't work, I continue the way I am. If it does work, maybe it can get better. It couldn't get any worse.
Right. If you're just joining us right now, we're talking to Larry and Linda. We're talking about the steps, which is really the roadmap into recovery and continuing into recovery. And give us a call if you have any thoughts about it. 1-888-329-3306. Mark, what about you? This is a second step. You agree with it?
Absolutely.
Wait, you don't have to agree with all of it, do you?
No. I mean, I guess that's up to you, you know, if you want to agree with all of it. I definitely agree with it, especially that whole idea of, you know, we talk of insanity, repeating the same mistakes, expecting different results. I don't know how many times throughout life with just addictive behaviors in general, yeah, you know, and addiction, you know, thinking, well, this way it's going to turn out okay, and it being an absolute catastrophe, yeah, you know. And for me, I just have tried to do it alone a lot at different points, and part of that clarity for me was just the whole idea of like, well, I got to run things by people. I mean, okay, I can't really go by my own thinking a lot of times.
Well, you know, you and I have talked about this many times. Clean and sober, that phrase, there's a big difference between getting clean, putting it down.
Yeah.
The main is getting sober. That's a whole nother story.
It is.
That's another commitment. That's a whole nother commitment.
Because I know for me, I can get locked in on things. I mean, it could be anything. You know, I can get locked in. And if that becomes like very addictive, everything else becomes less important, you know, in life, and I start losing balance. And so, you know, I guess that's why it's so important to just keep working a program, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, if you need help, call us now at 1-888-329-3306, and we can get you help. Or call the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. There is help out there. Mark and I always say there's no delivery service and there's no drive-thrus, but there is plenty of help out there.
Yeah, and you want to get it early. We say it every week. You know, go to a meeting. Even if you haven't stopped yet, go to a meeting.
Absolutely.
Right?
It's
all you
free.
Need is a desire
it's
to stop.
It's free.
Yes.
You know, don't, you know, we all brought up excuses why we couldn't get sober. We couldn't, you know, mm-hmm, I don't have insurance. It's free. Most people, Mark, and you would know better than me, most people get clean in meetings, not in rehabs.
Yes, and The other part of this is most people, if they just continue trying, will get clean. You know, it might be, there might be a bunch of relapses in there,
okay,
but they will get it, you know, and part of that insanity was also like procrastination, right? Well, I'll do something about this later. You know, I'm not going to do it right now. I'm going to wait till later to really deal with this problem. So reach out, get some help.
There was a book that I remember reading in rehab called I'll Quit Tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes.
Yeah, because it never worked out for me. Did right. it for you guys?
No.
Tomorrow never comes. You can't make a better past.
Yes.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Tom Phillips is watching. Keith Hornig is watching.
Charles Celestine, my old buddy, is watching. Is watching.
Great.
It's the words, the stuff coming through the headphones that distracts us.
Yeah, I know that. Listen, we do have a caller on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
Mimi Dorshoe is on the line. Mimi, are you there?
I think I am, Gary and Mark. How you doing?
We're good. How are you?
I'm phenomenal. Thank you to your two guests that are on today. The 12 steps are one of my favorite topics.
Well, that's good.
You asked what our favorite steps are, and I can't pick one out. But you know what I love about step two that you quoted?
What?
Step two says that we would be restored to sanity. And I always, you know, when I'm running a group and things like that, I always tell people, this does not promise to restore you to abstinence or sobriety or recovery. It promises to restore us to sanity. And I love that. And I just wanted to tell you, and can I tell you what my two favorite words in this step are?
What are they?
It's the first two words of step 12. And the reason I love them so much is because it's assumptive. It says that if you do these steps, you will have a spiritual awakening. So 11 leads you to two words, having had a spiritual awakening. And that's a promise. It's an assumptive promise, and I love it.
Good, good. Mimi, thank you for all that you do. We appreciate you checking in with us. We always do,
yep.
And we appreciate all the support you give us.
Yeah, thanks, Mimi.
Thank you. Thank you. Enjoy your afternoon.
You too, Mimi.
She almost touched on something. My favorite step is step 12. Because having a habit of spiritual awakening as a result of these first 11 steps, that's the package.
And being able to carry the message, right? You know, to somebody that's still suffering,
it's
huge. You haven't experienced the steps until you experience them with somebody else.
You think you have to do the steps to become clean and sober?
Not to become clean and sober, but to stay that way. If you're like me, a hopeless case.
Well, I think it's an individual decision. And, you know, the proof's in the pudding. If you can stay sober and clean and sober, with the steps or without the steps. I mean, I always think the idea of getting clean and sober is not to use. That's not negotiable. And two, to live a rewarding, responsible life, no matter how you get there.
Yeah, I agree with you, Gary. And so you got step three there now?
You agree with me?
Yes, I do, for once.
Where's Mike Hepp?
We need to get... I know, Big Book Mike.
Yeah. Okay, step three. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him.
So this is the one that I know as a counselor, and I'm sure you've run into the same thing.
Yeah.
This is the one that spooks people sometimes.
Yes, yeah.
It spooks me. Did it?
Yeah.
It's a tough one. Linda, was that tough for you to work that step?
Yeah, turning it over. I didn't understand what it meant.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Turning it over. Who? Why? How am I going to do anything? How am I going to make a decision? So clients find it very difficult to turn over, especially if they don't believe in God.
Right.
You have to look for another program. You have to look for another skill set.
But it does say care of God, or as we understood him. I think a lot of people would like the word God out of there, as we understood. You know, your higher power can be anything you want.
Yeah, and that's a lot of times the way, and I'm sure you run into this too. That's the way we talk about it with clients that are resistant. You know, I've talked to people about God can stand for the great outdoors, good orderly direction, just something bigger than themselves.
Yeah.
But I was just talking to somebody last night that didn't work with. You know, they were just like, I'm having no part of this.
I also think that people are embarrassed or not in shape, but embarrassed to say in a meeting that they don't use the steps. Because, you know, it's instilled in us as soon as we got clean to follow the 12-step.
When it came to God, I was embarrassed. And finally, I got honest with my sponsor. And I said, I got a bad report card. And he just looked at me and he says, maybe God's not like you. I said, what do you mean? He says, maybe God's not judgmental. Maybe he loves you as much when you're hurting your neighbors, when you're helping them. But if you know the difference, you better start helping.
Yeah.
And I believe God works through people because contact with all the people in this fellowship, I'm living a great life.
Hey, if you just joined us now, we're talking with Larry M. and Linda Elkins, and we're talking about the steps, which is the roadmap to recovery. And we'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Don't let addiction rob you of one more day. Pocono Mountain Recovery Center offers comprehensive addiction treatment for adults. Depending on your unique needs, your care at Pocono Mountain may include detox, residential treatment, and an array of outpatient options. We also offer transitional living support and transportation for outpatient participants. Pocono Mountain is in network with most major insurance plans. Start your recovery journey at Pocono Mountain Recovery Center. To learn more, call 877-596-0223.
Hey, this is Jackie Marling, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio. This is still Jackie Marling, and you should listen to Clean and Sober Radio. Everybody should listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-329-3306. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
We are back.
We are.
And we're talking about the steps.
Yeah.
What, Mark?
Before the break, we were talking about that step three, and you know, turned our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him.
Yeah.
I think what really spooks some people is if they've had bad experiences with religion. So
and
I get a lot
of people have.
Yes, and plenty of people have. And I think that's one of the barriers that sometimes we have to work through. You think
well,
so,
I'll tell you something. Step four is the one that I absolutely agree with, 100%. I don't agree with all the other steps completely. Little pieces from each one. But this one is the one I agree with because it's an ongoing thing that you have to do through life, which is made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. If you want to be honest, that's what you have to do. Larry, are you going to say something?
Yeah, well, in step three, when he talked about bad religious experience, I was expelled from religious school. And I thought, good, now I'm done with this God stuff. And it haunted me years later. I remember being on a bad run, looking up, saying, are you happy now? Like God did it to me. No, I did it to myself. Me defying God is what caused the pain, not God.
Linda, do you agree with all the steps and every single piece of them?
Not every single piece.
Mm-hmm.
But we're on step four, and I love step four.
Yeah.
And people have a lot of different ways of doing it. There's a way to do it through the big book. There's inventories. If you go to Hazleton, there are papers and lists, and you can make an Excel spreadsheet. But I find people are the most afraid. They think it's just a list of all the bad things they've ever done in their lives, and that's not really what it is. It's a look back on your patterns. When I got done, I saw that every action I took was because of fear, every single one.
Yeah.
And if you had asked me prior to that, I would have told you I was fearless. And it was all a sham. I was afraid of everything, and that dictated my behavior. And until I saw my pattern, I couldn't fix it.
It's looking back, but it's also looking currently and forward.
Exactly.
Which I think is almost more important. I guess you have to know your past to move forward. But
mm-hmm.
I agree with you 100%. You know,
isn't it crazy when you write out step four and you see? You said patterns. You see all these catastrophes from talk about the insanity,
right?
You know, and it's a very humbling experience, isn't it?
It is.
Well, step four, was a game changer. Okay. Before I took the steps, I remember my sponsor said to me, if you experience these 12 steps, you might drop charges against the rest of the world.
That's a good one.
He saw how angry I was. Well, when I listed my resentments in step 4, I listed the resentment I had against him for saying that. Because up to step 4, I thought the world had wronged me. I never saw how I treated others.
Yeah.
I had to put it down on paper. And after I put it down on paper, on each resentment I had to ask myself where I've been selfish, where I've been dishonest, where I've been self-seeking, and where I've been frightened. And I realized the thing I resented most in others is when they behave the same as me. I'm the only one allowed to behave that way. I was unique in my own mind, and I was not unique at all. And when I was going through these turnarounds, those 4 things I mentioned, my sponsor had me read 10 and 11 on twice a day. And his reason, he says, you can't make a better past, as I said before. He says, you're reviewing the past so you can learn how to live in the present. Something that we have trouble doing, living in the present. And this gave me the framework for learning how to live in the present.
Very true, Lara. Very true. Hey, you know who's watching us right now, Mark?
Mark Willig.
Mark, but wait a minute. Who's our favorite girl from Conshohocken?
Monica McNally Pokerney. It's fantastic.
Wait a minute.
Don't go there right now. Don't go there right now. It's totally right.
Pokerney. Monica. If we need to be corrected, just give us a call.
I know. This time she'll be yelling because it's been how many times she's had to correct us.
I spoke to her earlier today.
Did you say it right?
I can't remember.
Oh, no.
I can't remember. All right. Let's go to step 5. Admit it to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. I can easily admit, and I have admitted, my wrongs to other people.
Yeah, I know for me, it was such a vulnerable feeling. So for people that aren't familiar with the steps, in step 4, you take this inventory and there's a lot of writing and you're writing about, you know, defects that might have come up in your life and all the issues and unmanageability you had. And then I remember when I took this step, my sponsor actually took me into the woods and it was kind of cool, you know, and I had like a whole copybook filled. You know, and I remember just the vulnerability of sitting there and telling all my secrets, the things that keep you sick.
I think addicts are basically secretive, sneaky, conniving people.
Yeah.
So to open yourself up to another person is a big step.
It is. And I remember when I was done after like 2 days of this, by the way, of going over.
You were in the woods for 2 days?
No, it was... You know, woods to his house. But I remember after I was done, I was like, man, I don't know if I want to talk to my sponsor right now because he knows everything, you know. But, yeah, it's quite an experience.
Yeah. Do you guys feel the same way? I mean, this step here.
I went through 2 step 5s. First one, I was scared to death going into it to tell somebody else. The second one, I couldn't wait for the opportunity. And the result of step 5 was, I don't want any new secrets. Wow. I want to talk about it when it happens now. So I don't have to hold it inside because those secrets are what was killing me.
You're only as sick as your secrets. Yeah. Linda, exactly. How did you feel about this? What do you think about this
step? I did it twice also, and the first time it was easier. The second time I kind of felt like it was more for me, seeing those patterns that everybody already knew about me. So when I went back and told my sponsor everything, he already knew what I was doing. He already understood, and I didn't feel intimidated at all.
I think what you just said is really correct. It's really for our benefit. It's good to, you know, do what you have to do and make amends, but it's really about your own soul.
It is.
And how you want to live your life.
Yeah, and not living in fear and not living with all your bad decision-making from the past is awesome. It's so freeing.
Yeah, and, you know, I got to tell you something. When I got sober – it'll be coming up on 40 years. And Larry, I'm sure you're the same deal. You know, it's not like you get clean and sober and all your bad stuff is gone. I did a lot of real bad things for the first year that I don't even want to admit to, you know? And we always talk about, Mark and I mean, this is an ongoing thing, at least for me. When you're in somebody's house, the idea of looking in their medicine cabinet still crosses my mind. Larry, do you ever think of that?
I was the type of guy, if I asked to use your bathroom, you told me to clap my hands while I'm in there.
Yeah, but it's a weird thing. I mean, we've all been sober for a long time, but you still have those stinking thoughts in your head.
Absolutely. I mean, it's crazy, and I guess that's the importance of this, to continue working on it.
Right. It's a continual process, right, Mark?
Absolutely.
But you get those moments. Like, I'm about a month after I was out of rehab that last time, 11 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm walking to a different doctor's appointment, nothing to do with rehab. I'm going to the foot doctor at Rothman, and I come out of the building, and there's a sample bubble pack of pills laying on the ground upside down.
Uh-huh.
I stopped dead in my tracks.
That's right.
I didn't know what they were. It didn't matter what they were.
Yeah.
And I had to talk myself out of bending down and touching them, because if there was something in them, I might have eaten it.
Well, that's why it's so important that we can continue, you know, rigorous honesty and everything else, because these thoughts, you know, what do they say? They're doing push-ups in your head.
They're waiting.
They're waiting to pop out.
Exactly.
And they trick you. It's like, well, you're not going to do them. Just pick
just
it up and look at it. You know what I mean? Like, I've had those experiences.
Just smell it. Yes. Just see what it smells like.
Like, I'll bait you in, then I'll set in, right?
Mark, you're 100% right, man.
Well,
you know?
I still have an addict mind.
Yeah.
15 years ago, I had an operation on my intestines, and they gave me Percocets, followed the directions. 2 days later, I called the doctor. I said, why can't I drive? He says, because you're taking Percocets. All of a sudden, priorities change. Driving meant more than the pills. Set them on my bureau. A year later, a contractor comes into the house. The contractor stole the pills. My wife is furious, ready to call the police, and I'm standing there laughing. And she says, what's so funny? I says, don't you understand I was supposed to throw them out a year ago? God removed them for me.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Exactly.
Rita Duke is watching. Stephanie DePaul, the steps were scary until I saw God as divine energy all around and in all of us. Whatever it takes. Todd Klotz is watching. Kathy, here we go. Forcellini.
There you go. I think that's right.
Is watching. Yep. Our buddy John Hollis, howdy back to you. Did we say C. Ruger?
John's funny. He says, step four, I'm the common denominator of all situations.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Yeah. All right. What are we on? Six?
Six and seven together.
All right. Sure. So six is we're entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. And seven says, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Well, I still have a problem with both steps. So that's my honesty.
Well, and for people that aren't familiar with the steps, when we talk about defects of character, they're usually normal human drives that from our own self-centeredness get taken to a larger proportion. So it could be like lust, greed, dishonesty, you know, different things that fed into the addictive cycle, you know, and feed into relapse. So what do you disagree about this step, Gary?
What, six?
Yeah.
I have an issue with God.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I knew that.
Yeah. You know. Listen, I don't care what anybody thinks about anything as long as it's not pushed on me.
Yeah. I got you.
You know what I mean? I mean, listen, I've said this in meetings, and after the meetings, people have come up to me and said, yeah, you know, I sort of agree. People don't like to talk like this, but we can say anything we want on this show.
Absolutely.
Except curse.
Except curse.
Except
like
curse.
Jackie.
Now, seven's my favorite.
Joke man.
So don't move ahead. Seven's
Gary,
my favorite.
I might make you curse what I'm going to say. If you have trouble with any step, they say go backwards to find the problem.
Well, whatever. What about seven?
Seven is my favorite.
Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Okay.
There's a part in there at the end where it talks about being so selfish that we can't turn it around. This was me. And that at the very last paragraph, there's a thing about the average man knows the difference between a request and a demand. everything I asked of people was a demand. I demanded their time. I demanded they do things my way. I demanded everything. So even while working the steps and going to meetings, I had a friend, Frank M., who was so annoying. He would constantly open the book and point to step seven. And this went on for years. And there were some people would say that's the way to learn humility. And it's that's a hard lesson. Is the hard lesson.
Did you have a resentment, Linda?
I did. Oh, my God. He made the list.
It's funny. Resentments, they always have a victim mentality.
Yes.
Like, they did that to me. Linda, did you find that your defects get better after going through the steps?
Oh, yeah. I'm a lot more conscious of other people's feelings, of not upsetting people, not saying things that I shouldn't say. I do hold my tongue now a lot more than I used to.
I mean, when it came to, I humbly asked him. It didn't say he granted. Some of my shortcomings I'll take to the grave with me. What really helps me is when I can see today how a shortcoming is affecting others. Then I want to do something about it. I guess my personal ones I'm not aware of. But when I'm affecting others, I don't want to be in the – I was in the people-hurting business all my life. I don't want to be in that business anymore. I'd rather be in the people-helping business.
Joel Cooper's watching from Florida. Stephen Hesko. Look, this program, the bottom line is it's about honesty. You can fool yourself. You can try to fool others. You're only hurting yourself. So, you know, for me, the basic part of the program is, and yes, I do follow a lot of the steps, and I think I do a pretty good job, is honesty with yourself is the main thing. Live an honest life with total abstinence. Well, I don't know what else there is, really. Does anybody know?
No.
Call us, 1-888-329-3306. And remember, again, if you need help, call the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-4357. There's help out there, man. You don't have to waste all the years that we – I don't know how many years the four of us wasted before we got it. You know, 50, 60, 70 years.
And you don't have to wait for it to progress even further.
Right, Mark.
Right? Get worse.
And as you always say, your body – you don't have to hit – the bottom, because as you say, there's always a bottom under that bottom.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, absolutely. I got to stop saying absolutely. I've said it like 5 times today.
It's okay.
But yeah, there's always a bottom after the bottom.
Right.
It's one of those things where, you know, if you get into treatment and you start going to meetings and things like that, you're going to get it earlier. You're going to get it. If you keep doing it, you're going to get clean eventually.
Yeah. Now, 8 is a very important step, and that is made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them. And if you keep going down, unless it'll hurt yourself or that person. And I think a lot of people use that, like, I'm not making amends because it's going to hurt somebody myself.
Yeah, it's a hard one.
It is a hard one, but it's a big step.
It's a huge step, and sometimes there's indirect amends that you can make. Did you guys struggle with this?
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
My sponsor said to me, the ones you don't touch are the women from the past who are married now.
Oh, okay.
Because you might arise suspicion between them and their husband if you contact them again. He says, leave them alone.
Well, that should be obvious to anybody, even if they're stoned.
No, it's not.
It's not obvious.
I watch people go out of their way to make an idiot out of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched it too many times.
Yeah, I guess you're right, you know.
There's a lot you can make.
I don't want this to back. There's a lot of people. Dennis Hubert is watching. Harold Johnstone is watching. We just like to recognize, you know, our supporters.
Also, on step 8, that list I made, a lot of it was taken from step 4 because the people I thought wronged me were really the people I wronged.
Right. That's right. And when you can come to those conclusions, it's real growth.
It's free.
It's real growth.
It frees me.
Step 9, did we do that already? Yeah.
No.
No, we didn't.
No, that's.
Made direct amends to such people wherever possible.
except when.
Oh, that's right. Except to do so would injure them or others. Look, there's one person. I'm not going to mention the person's name. I could not make amends to them. They have since passed, but I made amends to almost every single person, you know, that I harmed. Family members, friends, and it doesn't have to be major harm, violent harm. It's just you did stuff to them that you shouldn't do. Mark, did you have that kind of experience? I mean,
yeah, I actually didn't actually get to this one. I stalled out. For some reason, I just never did the amends part.
I bet you did, and you don't even know it, Mark.
I mean, there were definitely some indirect amends and some amends that I made, but I never officially. In NA, it takes so long because there's this huge step working guide that you go through.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's and a tremendous workbook. It's a lot of work. Yeah.
And I stalled out.
Wow. Hey, if you're just joining us now, we're talking to Larry and Linda, and we're talking about the steps with Mark and I, and it's, as I'm going to say it again, it is the roadmap. It is what you need to follow completely or partially to keep going in the right direction with your recovery. And we'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care, backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF now. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Hey, this is Andy Powell of Wishbone Ash, and you're listening to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-329-3306. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
All right, guys, what about step 10?
I would have
continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. You do that, Mark?
Could I go back to step 9, Gary, with something Mark said? And that is, and I say this to every sponsee, action speaks louder than words. Talk is cheap. Yes, we make a verbal amends. And the only thing I say in amends, I never say I'm sorry because I'm not asking anybody to forgive me. I've asked enough out of them. I'm just explaining how I live today. And if I don't follow it up by living that way, once again, I'm the person of the past.
Here you go. Okay, step 10, because we're starting to run out of time. Continue to take personal inventory, and we were wrong, promptly admitted it.
I do that. I try to do it as much as I can. I make a deal that I'm going to do this every day, but I'm talking like maybe once a month I do it, where at the end of the day you look back and you say, like, where did I fall short today, or where did I mess up today? What can I do better the next day? I get away from it a lot. Do you guys do it?
Yeah, and I think if I feel uncomfortable, I have to stop and say, why do I feel uncomfortable? What did I do today that makes me feel uncomfortable? What can I do to make it right? Maybe sometimes with your spouse, you can just admit you were wrong, and that solves everything.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
This is all a progression. You know, it's you know.
Practice.
It's practice. It's part of your life what you have to do these things if you want to be a good person. And that's all. The bottom line for me is being a good person. You know,
I take step 10, and sometimes step 10 takes me.
All right.
I'm about to do something, and I stop myself because I know it's wrong.
Well, that's right. That's
that
good.
Wasn't me in the past. In the past, I would do it and justify it. Today, I stop myself. And step 10 is on an instant basis, realizing what's going on. Step 11 is reviewing the day.
Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out.
I'll
leave that one
up
to you.
I've been trying, you know, to meditate more and to take quiet times because you know what I noticed? It's so easy to spend so much time up in your head and not be present, you know? And so they talk about that mindfulness of being able to kind of bring yourself back in the moment. I've been working on that, but it's a work in progress. How about you guys?
I took a meditation class twice, and it works so well when you get into the practice of doing it. And if I don't do it for a week, I feel it right away. You have to take that quiet time and just let your thoughts go, the ones that don't mean anything. Just let them fly by like the clouds and just take a minute to take stock of where you are and what you really want to do that day, and it'll come back to you. But if you have the meditation, you kind of have space in your head for making better decisions.
Well, all
you're not up against a wall anymore.
Linda, all these techniques, the steps, meditation, meetings, all sorts of stuff is good for your toolbox of recovery. As mm-hmm. many things as you can do that you need to help you get through. And I guess for a lot of people, it's one day at a time, one day at a time.
Yep.
It's a package deal.
Right, package deal, right?
And step 11 is a ritual for me. I wake up in my head, which is the same head I've had all my life. I read, I pray, I meditate, and I stand up in a better frame of mind.
Whatever works for
and
the individual.
I review my day at the end of the day. And this might sound nuts, but I do the best review of my day when I'm in the shower. I don't know why, but that's when my thoughts come to me.
All right, let's go to step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Listen, we do that every single week.
Yes, we do.
Every week for the last 8 years. So I think that for that step, you and I are doing a good job.
Yeah, I think I could definitely be doing a little bit more, but I guess we always could, mm-hmm. right? And I guess that's part of the humility that we need to learn in this whole thing. Do you guys feel like you work this step 12 a lot?
Yeah, I do. Like every time we go to a meeting, you know, we're looking for new people to help all the time. And I'd like people to go back to meetings. People have been stuck in the house for 2 years. Attendance is down, and I would like people to get back to it.
You know, I think it was two shows ago. We were talking about clean and sober, one, two. Mm-hmm. And the third thing is giving back. That's another step.
Exactly.
Clean, sober, and giving back. That's taking it to another level.
And it's the only way we can keep it. That's what they say, and I do believe that, is to give back, to try to help other people, and to get out of that self-centeredness.
Do you guys think, Linda, I'll start with you, your program, whatever it is, however it works for you, do you feel fulfilled and feel and know that you're doing a good job?
I do most days.
Yeah.
Most days I do. I feel I could be doing more. I always feel like I could be doing more.
Mm-hmm.
But I try to do the best I can. And I'm really living in peace. I'm living in a place where I don't have emergencies and catastrophes that I created. I don't have those same problems, those same pressing problems.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's the rewards. You know how to act in these situations.
That's right. That is the calmness. You know, we can't have it all the time. But if most of your day is calm, then I think you've reached a level which is what this is all about. Larry, what about you?
Well, you know, I feel I'm doing the most I can. I can never say no to any commitment. One of the reasons I'm here is because I see how you give back with this program, and how could I ever refuse to help? But I feel at times like I don't deserve this life I got. Like I'm undeserving. I'm not good enough. And I have to accept the good things also. I have trouble with that because I remember what I was like.
But you're a very caring person. That's why you feel those kind of things. You know, that non-deserving, I'm less than. That shows you have feeling, Larry, you know?
Oh, I'm not hiding that feeling with a drink anymore or a drug.
Yeah.
I'm facing it.
That's correct. That's correct. Here it is. I forgot it was here. Kratom. For all you listeners and viewers, if you've never heard of that drug, Kratom is in pill, capsule, or extract. That's where it's from. And it is sold in the United States, and we're having an issue with it in Pennsylvania alone. It does affect your brain. It produces both stimulant effects in low doses and opioid effects in high doses. So I know in the state of Pennsylvania we're going towards it will be illegal for anybody under 21 to get this stuff.
It's physically addictive.
Physically addictive. It's
physically addictive. I've had people that were using large amounts of this and had a really hard time getting off of it. Have you run into that?
Yes, and there were 1,800 ER cases in the past 5 years of children who took it, teenagers who took it, and ended up in the ER. Some of them had to be in a coma and then come out of the coma. And it is really dangerous, and people, especially addicts, need to stay away from things like that.
Yeah. I just want to wrap this up with a couple other people. We get them out there. Ed McCash, Mike, let me see some, Mike Saberio, Andrew Christopher. I like his name.
Hey, Andrew.
Yeah, Andrew, what's doing, buddy? Hey, it was a good show. Guys, we always appreciate you guys coming on because you have such good input. And we have an extra minute?
Oh, boy.
Okay.
We got a minute.
All right, let's count to 60.
Hey, can I read something?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, read it.
So this is really interesting. This was sent to me, and it's from AA World Services out of Ukraine. It says, to the worldwide AA fellowship, dear brothers and sisters of our global AA family, we Alcoholics Anonymous of Ukraine are going through difficult times today during the attack on our country. We thank God for bringing us to AA. We AA members are sober. We are thankful that we can go through hard times sober. We need your prayers that we may continue to maintain our peace of mind and sobriety so that we can be of service to our country at this difficult time. Pray for us that we will follow AA's spiritual principles under all circumstances and walk in unity through this challenge. We speak the language of the heart.
Beautiful. Remember, if you or a loved one is struggling with addiction, help is available. Please call 1-800-662-HELP. For Clean and Sober Radio, I'm Gary Hendler.
I'm Mark Sigmund.
Thanks for listening. To learn more about this broadcast, please join us on our mission at cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com.
To say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves, I hope we pass the audition.
Untreated addiction can be devastating, but when someone who is struggling gets the professional help they need, their life and their spirit transforms. Huntington Creek Recovery Center provides personalized care for adolescents and adults who have developed addictions to alcohol and other drugs. They offer specialized services for those who have a history of trauma, including EMDR therapy. Addiction doesn't have to be the end. Discover the path to successful recovery at Huntington Creek Recovery Center. To learn more, call 844-948-2320 today. Online, HuntingtonCreekRecovery.com. An addiction to alcohol or other drugs can be a devastating and destructive cycle, but professional help is available and successful long-term recovery is possible. Pocono Mountain Recovery Center is Eastern Pennsylvania's leading drug addiction treatment center. They provide personalized care for adults 18 and older who are struggling with substance use concerns. Medication-assisted treatment is also available for individuals who are battling opioid addiction. Don't wait another day for your new beginning. Call Pocono Mountain Recovery Center today at 877-596-0223. Online, PoconoMountainRecoveryCenter.com.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Don't let addiction rob you of one more day. Pocono Mountain Recovery Center offers comprehensive addiction treatment for adults. Depending on your unique needs, your care at Pocono Mountain may include detox, residential treatment, and an array of outpatient options. We also offer transitional living support and transportation for outpatient participants. Pocono Mountain is in network with most major insurance plans. Start your recovery journey at Pocono Mountain Recovery Center. To learn more, call 877-596-0223.
Huntington Creek Recovery Center is Eastern Pennsylvania's premier provider of transformative care for individuals whose lives have been impacted by addiction. Our 40-acre campus offers a tranquil, recovery-focused environment. We specialize in evidence-based care that addresses the effects of trauma and offer a unique program specifically for adolescent males. Huntington Creek Recovery Center can help you achieve lasting sobriety. Call us today at 844-948-2320.